In Matthew chapter 25, we see the great judgment scene in verses 31 through 46. And let's read that scene together. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the King will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me.' Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit Me.' Then they will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then He will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." We've been studying the question for the last four Sundays, what will happen at the end of time? And in thinking about this question, we've noticed that there will be four major events, and there will be a lot of little events that occur in between these major events. But four major events. First of all, Jesus will return. And we know that when He comes back, every eye is going to see Him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Behold, He comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." And so every single person is going to see Jesus return when He does come back. The second major event is going to be the resurrection of the dead. And all will be raised from the dead. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation." And so all will be raised from the dead. There's the second major event. The third major event is that there's going to be a great judgment. The earth, as we know it, is going to be consumed by fire, and nothing is going to be left, and all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that which He has done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And we studied about that last week. But then the final event that's going to take place is that all will enter into their eternal estate. And that is whether one is going to spend eternity in heaven or whether one is going to spend eternity in hell. You see, that's the final place of every single person who has ever lived, every single angel that's ever been created, every single demon that has rebelled against God, every single person who has lived upon the face of the earth. Each one of them are going to spend eternity in one place or the other, either heaven or hell. And what's it going to be? That's the question that we must ask ourselves this morning. Where will I spend eternity? There's a good song in our songbook. I don't know if it's in our songbook or not, but it's in some other songbooks. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend eternity? Is the question that's asked in that song. And then at the end of the song, what will your answer be? Yes, that's the song that we sing sometimes. And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning, because one day all will enter into their eternal estate. The righteous will go to heaven, and that's where God wants everyone to be. That's truly God's desire. He's not willing that any should repent or that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. God wants all men to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us. And for this reason, God has sent His Son Jesus to the earth to die on the cross, to show His great love for us, so that we can know, even though that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God has accomplished what we couldn't possibly accomplish of our own selves. And that is the providing of eternal salvation. What must we do? We must give ourselves to Him in faith, putting our trust in Him in everything that we do, realizing that faith in God is necessary to be saved, and that without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing unto Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Putting our faith in Him means that we're going to trust Him. It means that we're going to obey His will. It means that in obedience to Him, we're going to repent of our sins, the things that have separated us from God in the past, and that we're going to strive to live holy and pure lives. For the times of ignorance God once winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Inasmuch as He has appointed a day in which He is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man Him whom He has ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men, in that He has raised Him from the dead. And so we can know that we're going to be judged by Jesus Christ. And because we know that judgment is coming, we need to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 and 31. When we repent, we will then willingly confess that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. And we will make Him our Lord in our life, because we know that we are going to stand before His judgment seat one day. And so we need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, and we need to be baptized for the remission of sins, because Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And the apostles preached, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Yes, we need to do those things in obedience to Him, to show that we love Him, to show that we trust Him, to show that we truly do believe in Him and are willing to obey Him. And when we do that, He will provide salvation for us. And when we are saved and in Christ, the Bible says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And when we die, and we enter into eternity, and we stand before Christ on that judgment day, anticipating what's going to come next, we will know that the righteous will enter into eternal life. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. The righteous will go to heaven. And they will receive the crown of righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. There the Apostle Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. We are in anticipation of that day. We love the fact that Christ is going to appear one day. And we're living our lives in a faithful way so that we can be ready on that day. In that same context, 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, anticipating his own death, which he understands is coming soon, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've run the race. And that's how he knows that there is that crown of righteousness laid up for him, because he had been faithful to the Lord in his life. Yes, the righteous will go to heaven. They will receive the crown of righteousness, and they will inherit that incorruptible inheritance which has been saved for them all that time that they were faithful to the Lord on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us that it is an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, but that it's where? Reserved in heaven for you. And we will inherit that wonderful, incorruptible inheritance on that day. The righteous will go to heaven. They will receive immortality and eternal life. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, which says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, they will receive eternal life. Yes, eternal life. That is what awaits the righteous. Matthew 25 and verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. All will enter their eternal estate. And on the one hand, on the right hand, the righteous will enter into eternal life. But on the left hand, the wicked will go into eternal punishment. They will be sent away to the place of the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 says, then he will say to them also on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. They are, according to the word of God, cursed, because they did not believe God, nor trust in him. They did not put their faith in him. They were not obedient to him. They trusted in themselves instead of the Lord. And because of that, they are cursed. And they will go to the same place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels, who themselves did not trust in the Lord and rebelled from God and ended up being separated from him forever, whereby God needed to make a place for them to be that would be eternally away from him. Yes, the wicked will go into an eternal punishment, the same place where the devil and his angels will be. And they will be punished away, notice, from the presence of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, we are still in the presence of the Lord here, and we still experience the glory of his power here while we're upon the earth. Both the righteous and the wicked receive great blessing from the Lord in this life while they are upon the earth. And God is present here. And God's glory is even seen here to a degree. But in that day, the wicked will no longer know even the merest hint of the presence of God. The wicked will no longer know even the merest minuscule of the glory of his power, because they will be completely cut off from him. And it will be a miserable thing to be in that condition. The Bible says they will experience the second death and be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 14 and 15, which says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And they will suffer for all eternity because of their own sins, because of their own choices, because of their own decisions. And they will have no one to blame but themselves, and they will know that throughout eternity. And as a result, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 13, in verses 40 through 42, Jesus says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that will be a horrible place to be. But as Jesus says in Matthew 25 and verse 46, but these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. Forever to be separated from the blessings of God. Forever to be separated from the holy and righteous saints who are God's people. Forever to be separated from the love that God shows to all. Forever separated from Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he has. What will happen at the end of time? It's a great question that we all need to contemplate and we all need to take very seriously. Are you looking forward to the second coming of Christ? Do you joyously anticipate his return so that if he should appear this very moment, you would be ready and you would say, yes, I am ready to go, Lord. Take me into your loving arms to spend an eternity in heaven with you forever. Is that how you feel this morning? I hope it is. Will you be resurrected unto eternal life or unto eternal condemnation? Because all who hear his voice will come forth and they will be resurrected from the dead. Will you pass the great judgment of Christ, having understood that you would be judged by him and therefore given yourself to him so as to live for him each and every day? And will you enter eternally into heaven, or will you enter into hell, eternal condemnation, separation from God? These are the things that will happen at the end of time. And these are the things for which we need to be prepared by giving our lives to him faithfully each and every day of our life. Have you done that in your life? Do you need to make things right with God this morning? Do you need to become a child of God? By following that plan that we discussed earlier, hearing the Word of God, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins, you can demonstrate your trust and faith in Him by doing that, and He says He will forgive you of your sins, and He will save you eternally if you are faithful to Him. But do not think that you can be in the position of rejecting that message and spending eternity with the Father. No, if you reject the message of the Son, there is no more hope. That message is provided for us in His Word today. Heed His Word. Believe it. Repent. Confess Jesus and be saved this hour by being baptized for the remission of sins. And you will stand in that wonderful position of being able to say with the Apostle Paul, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. Why not make that choice this very hour and become a child of God? If you're a Christian, but you haven't been living faithfully, and you need to make things right with God this hour, and you need the prayers of the church for that to happen, then now is a time for you to make that known. You can come forward this morning and ask for those prayers and ask God to forgive your sins. And as the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so why not make that confession known this morning so that you can be assured of your everlasting abode? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend eternity? What will it be? What will it be? What will your answer be? You can respond now while together we stand and while we sing.